Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Suddenly, the late Rudolf Nureyev is everywhere again. The Russian ballet dancer who rocketed to superstardom after he defected in 1961 is the subject of White Crow, a feature film directed by actor Ray Fiennes that opens Friday in Los Angeles.
Rudy, you dream of a world that isn't this one.
He has to go to Soviet Union.
They're trying to kidnap me.
Rudy, you have to say what you want.
Okay!
I want to be free.
Oh boy. Nureyev is also the subject of a new feature-length documentary titled Nureyev, now playing in theaters. In it, there's some newly discovered performance footage of Nureyev, and co-directors Jackie and David Morris, a brother and sister team, put the dancer in historical context, focusing on how Nureyev was a pawn in the Cold War chess match between the Soviet Union and the U.S., a prism through which the West saw Russia and Russians saw the West, a thrilling celebrity we all watched. Here's the great violinist Yehudi Menuhin in the documentary.
He was a phenomenon, and he knew it, of course, and sometimes he knew it too well, but thus he was a phenomenon, and sadly destined, I imagine, to consume himself and to live to the hilt.
Let's bring in the Morrises, who co-directed Nureyev. They join us from the BBC in London. Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And
hello.
Hi. And your brother David there as well. Hi, David.
I'm there as well.
Yes. Why make this movie now? Nureyev died in 1993. He'd contracted AIDS. It was just a very poignant ending to your film. It's also a reminder that AIDS is still with us. But why make the film now?
Well, it seemed a timely thing, really, a timely subject, you know. Russia is in the news. People have also sort of forgotten about the devastation AIDS caused. And he's also one of those enormous stars that you probably won't get again. He and people like him, like Elvis, they were sort of larger than life, and they stood out more. And I think it was just we wanted to rediscover him or to show him to a generation that don't know anything about him, because dance is ephemeral, and he was such a big star. After he died, that began to fade in the public consciousness, and we wanted to bring him back.
Well, and I'm so glad you did, because there are people, you know, younger people who, in watching this, were saying, wow, I didn't remember that. I didn't know that, about what it was like when Nureyev defected from Russia and came to the United States in the middle, you know, in the early 60s, in the middle of this Cold War. But before we get to that, Jackie, you start the film with a reminder of Stalin's brutal purges in the late 1930s, the Gulag labor camps. Millions died from what was then the Soviet Union. And Rudolf Nureyev was born into this. Why was it so important for you, Jackie, to give us this historical context?
He led the most extraordinary life. I mean, as you say, he was born in Stalin's Russia. They were starving. They had absolutely nothing. And he had to overcome so much and to end up being the most sort of famous person in the world. I just think we had to show those early years just to really put him into context, just to really let an audience know how unique he was and how extraordinary he was.
You talk about the poverty, the fact that his father is away at war. And by the way, you have dancers, it's just exquisite. You have dancers sort of dancing out part of his story as the film goes along. But here's a little bit of Nureyev with Dick Cavett talking about how he still had to fight, even when his father came home from war, to be the dancer he knew he could be.
When my father came from the war, my mother conveyed to him my wish to be a dancer. And he was adamant against any kind of dancing.
How did you solve that?
I ran away each time at night and went to take some lessons in folklore groups and dance with them.
David, tell us more about that, the role of dance in Russian society, because right at the beginning of the film, you remind us that, you know, ballet for Russia was both its main cultural statement and its main political statement, and then both of those meet in Nureyev. Remind us why.
That was the one thing that they knew that could conquer the world. They had the greatest dancers, they had the greatest choreographers and teachers in the world. And so at the time of Nureyev's defection, they were going to the West, and it was just 2 months after Yuri Gagarin went into space.
Right.
And it was an enormous embarrassment to them. And 2 months after that, the Berlin Wall went up. So it's sort of, he was sort of sandwiched between two enormous events during the height of the Cold War.
Well, and it made world news. You know, his defection, you know, the ripples of it went all around the world.
Right. It was huge. I mean, just to have said that timeline again, Yuri Gagarin becomes the first man in space. Nureyev is considered, you know, also the great Russian man. The two of them were held up. Nureyev defects just a little bit later, and then the Berlin Wall goes up, as you say in the film, almost as a statement, like no one else gets out,
yeah, exactly.
You know, after him. Yeah. And he talks poignantly in later interviews about performing, and either it was Russian agents or, as he said, members of the Communist Party who came and were throwing things on the stage. I mean, this could have injured the greatest athlete slash artist in the world at that time. Let's listen.
They were throwing tear gas bombs and broken glass on stage, and it was incredible hullabaloo in Paris.
And how did you manage to concentrate while that was happening?
Tough it, you know?
Tough it out. Jackie, what happened to him? What happened to his friends, his you know, teachers back at home after he defected?
Well, they were all punished. His two closest friends were scientists. It was a brother and sister. They were both scientists, and they were denied promotion for 10 years. Another close friend of his who was at university at the time, she was thrown out of the university. It had repercussions for everybody. But, you know, I went to Russia several times to interview his friends, because if he'd have lived, he would only have been in his 80s, early 80s now. Mm. So he still has a lot of friends who are alive. Mm. And none of them regretted any of it. You know, they talk about him as if it was yesterday. They are so loyal to him and so proud to have been part of his life and his escape.
Yeah.
And he was loyal to them all through, you know, he was smuggling money into them, to his parents, to his friends, and, you know, he never forgot them.
Well, he also was, meanwhile, turning the ballet world globally on its head. I mean, the way he danced, we see it in the film. Let's listen to someone describe it who saw it.
It was like seeing something from outer space. You know, men up until then had been sort of porteurs. They'd stood behind their ballerinas and supported them and occasionally danced solos and things. But there was the English style, which was extremely polite and refined. And this extraordinary animalistic person appeared.
As someone describing Nureyev dancing Swan Lake. And Jackie and David Morris, again, who have made this beautiful new documentary, Nureyev. As much as he discarded the rules in Soviet Russia, he discarded them around the world at a society party. He walks on a table, flicks a hairpiece off a woman. You know, it just, Richard Avedon, who photographed him stunningly, said that it was almost like an orgy of one. But you, as you look at him, David, you feel like, well, why wouldn't you kind of be that way? He was sort of extraterrestrial.
He was. And he was stunningly good-looking, stunningly arrogant. You know, he was only in his early 20s, but as soon as he came to the West, he made a beeline for the most famous dancers in the world, Margot Fonteyn in England and Erik Brunn, who was a Danish star. And he got them both.
As you say at the very beginning of the film, great people are meteors designed to burn so that the earth may be lighted. But meteors, as we know, you know, have a
short life. Yeah.
Yeah, and he did contract AIDS in the 1980s when there was no treatment, died at 54, way too young.
Yeah.
And we're reminded of that in this, you know, incredibly poignant moment you have at the end of your film. He's coming, it's at Lincoln Center, he's just performed on stage, and he's stepping from that stage into Dick Cavett's studio set up there at Lincoln Center. And his entrance, I know we're just going to, you know, maybe we can post some of it at herenow.org, because you just have to see, just the way he enters, you know, is the best entrance into a TV interview I've ever seen. Let's just listen.
What have we done?
I don't know.
And you have to picture him walking out as if he's still in like the snakeskin outfit, and he's still the performer just walking onto. I mean, the applause goes on forever because what, Jackie, just his very being was remarkable.
Yeah, you know, he was the kind of person that would walk into a room and you wouldn't, you could have your back to him and you'd know that he'd walked into the room. It just sent ripples through everybody. And that, when we heard that interview, we thought that absolutely sums him up. You know, the whole world was behind him at one point. I mean, when he defected, he knew that he was never going to be able to see his mother again. And he didn't really until right at the end of her life. And we all followed that story. And I think that applause at the end was an applause for his life. You know, that was, you're an amazing person.
As Dick Cavett said, wow, more than Mick Jagger. Got more applause than Mick Jagger. Thank you for reminding us of that. Jackie and David Morris, the British brother and sister co-directors of the film Nureyev. It has its North American premiere this month. Look for it. Jackie, David, thank you so much.
That's a pleasure.
Bye-bye. Bye.